Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 78 of the Stomp the Bus Show. I'm your host, Mark Harris, alongside with Colton Dodgson. And this is a very special episode for us because this is the first episode after the launch of the collegehuddle.com, which we are a part of. We're very happy to be a part of this podcast network. It's the largest independent college football podcast network out there. And you know, there's a website, thecollegehuddle.com. You can find them on Twitter at collegehuddle. And I think what's going to be cool is, like, there's all sorts of other Big 12 schools that are in it as well. And it'll be fun to just kind of talk with them. And yeah, so
yeah,
what are your thoughts on it?
It's super awesome to be a part of a wider network like that. I mean, Mark moves in silence, man. I didn't even know this was going on. I saw some teaser tweet. There we go.
Yeah.
Some teaser tweet he threw out, and I found out on Twitter like the rest of you. I felt like I was Chris Paul or something being traded from the Suns. So, but it's cool, man. I think it'll be really cool during football season. Maybe we can get some crosstalk going with different podcasts on the schedule and things like that. I think there's a lot of potential there. So it's cool of them to open their arms welcome us in with open arms, so to speak, as the guys who were dragged to the Big 12 kicking and screaming. So it should be fun, man. Looking forward to it. And it's wild because we have the fewest Twitter followers out of any account.
By far, probably.
But I looked at. So we're just excited to be along for the ride wherever this goes. I mean, I don't know, man. We've been at it for like 3 years now, 2 or 3 years, something like that. So
yeah,
bit of progress. So that'll be cool. Maybe we need to upgrade our setup a little bit, but who knows, man.
Do we? I don't know.
I don't know. I got a mic I can dig out or something, but.
Skype isn't good enough, Mike, in my opinion. But I think you're giving me a little bit too much credit in terms of how they kind of just reached out to me, and I think we're kind of benefiting from. I mean, most of the ASU podcasts out there are like part, you know, like Speak of the Devils is part of Arizona Family, State of the Sun Devils is part of Arizona Sports 98.7. So like, there are other ASU podcasts out there, but less official one, less, not as many fan ones. Some of the fan ones on here are pretty big, like the one for Texas A&M is huge. And so, you know, these have been around for years and years. And I think if, you know, I think if like House of Sparky, the SB Nation blog, had a more, substantial podcast, then this might be different. But here we are. So, I'm excited. What?
I said, yeah, we'll take it. However we got in, at least we got in.
That's right. It's like the ASU admissions, baby. We got it. Go. Oh, man. Yeah, so it's going to be pretty fun. And we'll probably have, once, you know, spring football wraps up and kind of get into the doldrums of the summer, we'll have some people on. That'll be fun. Get to know our new Big 12 rivals. So, yeah. And you can, you, like I said, you can find the Stomp the Bus stuff on the collegehuddle.com. And then I think I'll be adding some writing stuff, for it as well, at some point. So we'll see about that, but, yeah, so excited about that. One thing I'm not excited about, switching gears here, is a recent, I don't want to call this a report. I would say it's in between, I'll just say a recent tweet from former Arizona Republic ASU sports reporter Jeff Metcalf. And I'll put it on the screen right now. It is regarding the never-ending ASU athletic director search. And Colton, it's not a positive development in my mind. So It's not an official report because it's, you know, beginning to believe ASU's next athletic director will be Jim Rund, currently interim AD, ASU vice president of whatever, second time as interim AD, or Graham Rossini, ASU executive senior associate AD slash chief business officer. I mean, this is kind of what we hinted at last episode. It's just not, it's uninspiring to wait this long for an athletic director, have qualified athletic directors come and go and be hired and be like, oh, you know, we're just going to hire someone internally.
Definitely. That feels like something you probably could have moved a little quicker on, especially if that was the direction you wanted to go in. You know, I think he's a familiar face, right? I'm reading through his bio a little bit right now.
Which Rossini or?
Yeah, Rossini.
Yeah, and Rossini feels like the favorite. John Wilner hinted at that, so I mean, it does feel like it will most likely be Rossini. So yeah, and anyway, you were saying.
Yeah, I was just looking through some of the things that he's done. Oversaw Sun Devil Wrestling, also led 300 million capital projects. He comes from the MLB, had some time with the Diamondbacks in looks like 2011, 2013, 2014, some stuff from when he was there. He's an ASU guy. He graduated from here, which is cool. Let's see, served on Michael Crow's University Council, University Management Team. Make of that what you will. Corporate partnerships and an increased focus on NIL, fan experience, and letter winner outreach. So
that I really like.
That's interesting right there. An ASU alum and veteran of 20 years in sports business at the MLB and Power 5 level. That increased focus on NIL, fan experience, and letter winner outreach is definitely what stands out most to me. If that's the emphasis when he comes in, if that's something he tries to put a make a priority, so to speak, and empowers his coaches to, I mean, I feel like we talked about resources so much over the last week because of all of Dan Hurley's comments.
Right.
So if this is a guy who comes in and gives his coaches the resources he needs to be successful, or the resources whoever needs to be successful for any team, right? I think that would be a positive development because right now those coaches don't really seem to have that. It's picking up a little bit, I guess, but if that's a focus, that NIL and even the fan experience stuff, man, that would be awesome too, to see what happens there. Growth of ASU athletics departments as ASU continues to activate the valley by drag. Oh, that's just whatever. Okay. Anyway, that last part right there really stands out to me. I think this might be, if this ends up being the guy, I would be intrigued, right?
Yeah.
It wouldn't be like, oh, why is it this guy? We missed out on so many guys. Maybe we did. We probably did. But I mean, it is weird to wait this long and then just hire an internal candidate. Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's what I meant. It kind of feels like, all right, let's just get this over with, hire somebody. That's kind of what it strikes me as because these guys have been here all along.
It feels like someone who's not going to push back against Crow as much as an outside AD would, you know?
Right. Somebody who kind of is already aligned with the vision. Which is a little worrisome because the vision hasn't been great so far, but I don't know if he's a more progressive thinker and if he's somebody that already has Crow's ear a little bit, maybe Crow progresses, but I don't know.
Yeah. So for me, I'm definitely of two minds in this, right? Because like Graham Rossini could do a perfectly fine job. Like he could be a great AD. There's no guarantee that, even if he gets the job based on a process that is less than ideal for ASU fans, considering, like, the best way to do this is probably just hire an athletic director who's already had success at another school, right? Like, that kind of just, like, that's what other schools have done. It seems to work, you know, but I also think that, like, Rossini could still be a good choice because there is a lot of, there's some stuff out there that, like, he's a rising star in the industry. He might get poached away by someone else, or, like, he might take a job somewhere else as an athletic or whatever, you know what I'm saying? So, like, it's not like he's, like, some terrible choice. Like, if they hired Jim Rund, the interim AD, twice, who doesn't even really have that, like, huge of a sports background, then all bets are, like, it's just the pitchforks will come out, right? Like, that's an extremely uninspiring hire. It doesn't look like it's going to be that. And so, like, on one hand, I just want to acknowledge that, like, Rossini could do a good job. He has college athletics experience, right? Like, Ray Anderson did not come from the college athletics world, you know? Lisa Love, you know, 15, 20 years ago, before our time, really following ASU sports, but she wasn't regarded as a good AD. She, you know, didn't come from the college athletics world as much, I believe. I think I could be wrong about that, but at least with Ray Anderson, he definitely did not. So there's at least, like, he has the background of, like, he's had to deal with NIL. He is a Sun Devil, right? Like, he has, you know, love for the programs and stuff like that. But from a process perspective of waiting this long, keeping your fans in the dark about the AD process, I mean, like, I'm sorry, it's not good to just not have an athletic director for the amount of time it's been, you know? It, like, these coaches need someone to just help organize their programs and stuff like that. So from just all of that standpoint, if you wait this long, it's just a very underwhelming final result, you know?
Definitely.
But it could still work out perfectly fine, you know? That's the thing we have to acknowledge, right? Like, I don't want to just, like, hate on, you know, Graham Rossini just because he's an internal hire and, like, we don't like the genre of idea of an internal hire, right? But that doesn't, you know, like, he still has a lot of good qualities irrespective of that. So that's kind of, like, what I'm balancing, you know?
Definitely. It's just such an odd process this has been. So to get any sort of, I guess, substantial traction or, like, any substantial news in terms of, like, yes, something is progressing on this front.
Yeah.
I think even that is, like, okay, at least we're getting somewhere because we weren't hearing anything. And you're like, how long is this going to go on? Are we ever going to get a new athletic director? Like, what is going to happen here? So really anything is good news at this point. And
that's true.
You know, but at the same time, it's like, this is exactly what you thought was going to happen. Like, it's par for the course. You're going to be disappointed by whatever news comes out, right? Like, this is kind of how it always goes. The one thing I can think of is kind of the Dillingham hire where you're like, okay, that was solid. Like, we're moving forward. Everything else recently has sort of been, okay. Oh, we're doing that. All right. Like, that sort of thing. So, I don't know, man. It's good to get some news in this direction. I guess the best thing I can say is we'll see how it goes. That's all we really can say. You know, we don't know how these guys are going to perform. The only cause for caution for me, the only thing that makes me a little more cautious is the fact that he's currently in-house under the Crow sort of umbrella. So
yeah.
Hopefully those ideas are a little more progressive than what we've seen in this NIL era so far.
Okay, so just one point of note. Lisa Love, who is the AD at ASU from 2005 to 2012, had been in a lower role at USC beforehand. So just a factual error on my part there. But anyway, you're right.
Research department?
What?
I said, who pointed that out? Our research department?
Our research department, yes. Actually, Lisa Love's LinkedIn page pointed it out.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, No, you're right. Like, there is the fear that it's just this sounds harsh, but like a crow puppet, you know? Mm-hmm. That is a justified fear that ASU fans have about this. I saw someone quote tweet that like, whoever the AD that gets hired is going to be a bad hire because Michael Crow is making the hire. And it's like, I can't like dispute that notion, you know? all the comments he's made in the last like 2 years, whether it was saying that Desert Financial Arena doesn't need any renovations, or some of the word salad comments he said about how ASU is updating its financial models and how he wants to model the athletic department off, what was it, Stanford, Northwestern, and Vanderbilt. Like, there's all these things that Michael Crow says where it's like, oh my gosh, like, I do not want you behind the wheel of anything related to sports, right? So his influence is always just a specter over any potential athletic director hire. And I can't separate that from, you know, ASU just not hiring an experienced athletic director. And it makes it worse with the Brad Sesmat story that we showed on the last show that said that Pat Chun and Desiree Reed-Francois both, you know, were somewhat interested in the ASU athletic director job and it didn't go anywhere. And it's like, I just don't understand why you're just boxing out these qualified candidates, you know? And so, but again, like, Graham Rossini can still do a really good job. That's it. Like, that's, you know, it's a two-pronged conversation, I guess. So any more final thoughts until we move on to some other stuff?
Not really, man. Again, this is just kind of like, it feels like the later we got in this search, whatever news came out wasn't going to be news that blew you away. Right. It's not like they were working on something. It's not like they were working on something incredible behind the scenes. And then it was going to like, so I don't know. It doesn't surprise me. It's probably unfair to Rossini or whoever ends up getting this job. But it's a situation that was created by Crow, I think, by not moving a little faster on this. You now have pessimism that has spread throughout the fan base because of how long it's taken. Yep. And I think that's a super unfair position to put a new candidate in. So it's one of those things where he's going to come into the job and he might be under more scrutiny than he would have been if he was hired a little sooner. That's kind of just my gut feeling. So it's just been handled terribly. I don't know if this is something that Crow was trying to work on behind the scenes without leaking too much. Maybe Rossini has known, or whoever has known, that, hey, this is eventually going to be my job. We're just working toward that. Again, maybe there's stuff that's been kept in-house, but it just doesn't feel like the way this situation has handled was setting somebody up to be successful. It almost sets somebody up to be in a worse position a little bit.
At least from like a perception standpoint.
Exactly. That's what I'm referring to. Like, this is a difficult job as it is. And I mean, when you've got that level of scrutiny, like, you're coming in at a disadvantage, right? Because that scrutiny is already going to be where it's at because of how the situation was handled. Like, that's just natural. We've already seen pessimism spread throughout the fan base, right? People are like,
this is like the lowest, of all, like, I don't remember a time, maybe right now it's bounced up a little bit just because of spring football, but like, this feels like the lowest, like, collective self-esteem the ASU fan base has had in our entire time of rooting for, like, maybe other than like when some of the, you know, Herm Edwards regime stuff, Antonio Pierce stuff was like at its like highest boiling point, for lack of a better phrase, like, maybe other than like some of those moments. But it's just like, yeah, you just feel aimless, you know?
Mm-hmm. So best of luck to them, right? Like, I hope they do a great job. Obviously, if they do a great job, then we're happy and we're like, wow, this was actually a great hire. It just feels like they're already going to be under the microscope, so to speak, And however they respond to that is, I don't know, anybody's guess, but it's just, it's a weird situation to put a new hire in, especially.
Well, and especially we mentioned the guy from UConn, David Benedict, like he would be just, I tweeted this out, like from my personal account, like he's the obvious no brainer hire. And that's why he won't be the one who gets end up being hired. You know, it's like,
yeah.
So, the
only time, like I said, the only time that ever happened, and I think you mentioned this too on the last episode, was the only time that ever happened was when they hired Dillingham.
Yeah.
And it seemed like the pressure of, you know, the boosters and everything that was going on with the football program is kind of what forced Michael Crow's hand to make the right decision. It's almost like you have to force this guy to make the right call. Otherwise, he's going to think himself out of it. Like, I think we said it. We said it a couple episodes ago. He tries so hard to be the smartest guy in the room that he ends up looking like the dumbest guy in the room.
Right.
And
right.
It's wild. He is sometimes he looks like the dumbest smart guy that I've ever seen. And I don't get it. At least when it comes to sports, man.
Sports is just an enormous blind spot of his.
Like, yeah, and it doesn't make any sense, though. It doesn't match up with what he says. Like, when he's calling sports the front porch of the university and then actively ignoring sports, it makes no sense.
Yeah.
His words don't match up, and that annoys me.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess wrapping this up, like the tenor of our conversation really doesn't have anything to do with Graham Rossini. Like, honestly,
he could be the best, man, and
the thing is, he is qualified, like, based on what he's done. Like, he was instrumental in getting the Mountain America naming rights for the stadium, which people can argue about that, but like, ASU needs the money and it's extra money, you know, so like, that's a smart move, and that he's, you know, behind the scenes on NIL, all this stuff. Like, he's qualified. It's just, we don't trust the person making the hire. So
100%.
Yeah. We'll see how this plays out. I would be shocked if whenever we record next week that a hire has been made. I would be shocked.
If a hire has been made, you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I would, end of the month, I would say probably by the end of April, but
I don't know, man. This information has come out slower than anything I've ever seen. It might, it might not happen till like mid June at this rate.
Well, and by the way, we're just basing this off of Jeff Metcalf's tweet, and it's not even like an official report. Like, Jeff Metcalf no longer works for the Republic; he's retired. So, like, that's all we can glean off. It's just all of the things that have come out about this are just like small little tweets or like a little blurb and a Brad Sesmat story. It's like, it's just ridiculous. Oh, by the way, we're moving to a whole nother conference in a matter of months.
I do think that both of those guys, though, Jeff and Brad, are very well connected. And I
100%. 100%.
Jeff, we both know Jeff.
Yeah.
Has crossed paths with Jeff. When we, you know, covered sports or whatever, Jeff worked there for an extremely long time, was around the university for an extremely long time.
That was everyone. So, yeah.
I think that where he's getting, it's good that whoever is giving Jeff that information decided to give him that information, because otherwise we probably would still have no idea what's going on. So good on Jeff for putting that out there. Like you said, he's retired. It's not what, you know, it's not his job anymore. And he put that information out. So I choose to believe that those are probably the two candidates that we're looking at. It's just insane how long it's taken. So.
Yeah. Yep. Agreed. All right. Let's touch on baseball quickly before we move to some football news. Not a good weekend for ASU baseball. It's always tough to go to Oregon State and win. And they did not do that. They got swept by the Beavers. Only real close game was a 7-9 loss on Sunday. I saw that like it didn't really hurt like their RPI that much. I don't really know how it equates to their bubble status, but still bad, getting swept on the road by Oregon State. And then on Tuesday, they lose to Grand Canyon 5-3. That hurts. So now they are 15-18 overall. Their upcoming schedule is not extremely daunting. I think Oregon State's probably the best team they'll play. They still have UCLA and Stanford. I think those are pretty good schools. This weekend they have host Utah for three games. That should be manageable. So it's just kind of same old with ASU baseball, I guess.
Yeah. We kind of had that. We kind of left our ASU baseball discussion on our last episode with a hint of optimism, right? Like,
I mean, they were above 500 at that point. Like, what else?
Yeah, we felt good. I mean, obviously, Oregon State is a great team, perennially great team. I think we mentioned, like, I don't know, you take one game up there, it's probably the best case scenario. And then they lose to GCU last night, I think it was.
Yeah, man,
there's a tone in the Valley right now where it's like, when it comes to sports, it's one step forward and six steps back. So it's like
only the Diamondbacks. The Diamondbacks are doing well, and then everything else
that's
around
the step
them
forward. Yeah, exactly. That's the
everything
step
else
forward
around them is just on fire,
crumbling,
or almost about to move to Utah. Like,
exactly, almost headed to Salt Lake. Or that feels pretty done, based on what I'm reading. That feels like that's gonna happen, which is crazy. But anyway, that's kind of how ASU sports are across the board, right? It's one step forward and then it's two, three steps back. It's right. Probably not on the scale of the underperforming that some of these professional teams do, but it's still like infuriating, and we all feel that. So that's what leads to this sense of pessimism too, is we're tired of being called the sleeping giant. At some point, the sleeping giant isn't ever going to wake up. So
I hate that moniker so much. We just need to get our blank together, and then we can be worried about, you know, names like
we
that.
Have a good history, and I think that's what people kind of hang their hat on, is like, oh, we can get back there. And I feel that those days may be behind us. You know, ASU baseball is what it is now, right?
That's what's so sad. It's crazy because, like, before we went to college there, they were like recently in the College World Series and stuff. And ever since, you know, 2014, when we walked on campus, like, there's been like, they've made the NCAA tournament a few times, but never once left the opening weekend. And they've lost to like Fairfield one time, or just like some random school in Connecticut one. It's just, there hasn't been any sort of like breakthrough with baseball. And again, yeah, you're right. Like, that's the one sport where it's like, hey, like, you actually like should be really good. Like, you know, so we'll see. And to me, the issue isn't really losing, getting swept by Oregon State. It's previous losses that make getting swept by Oregon State hurt or look so much worse, you know?
So. Definitely, man. Yeah, it's just another thing, man. It just continues to compound. There's always something.
Right.
There's always an issue. There's always...
something university.
There you go. There you go. They're living up to that moniker. But that's what I mentioned last week, is I think that's why this football season is so make or break for a lot of ASU fans.
Right.
I don't want to say make or break. Maybe that's the wrong way to put it. But it's like, give us, please, please reward us with something.
Yeah.
Please give us something to be happy about. It's been so long. Right. I mean, the most that we've had is like, it's always the closest any of these teams get is like the opening weekend of their respective tournament, and then they're done. It's nothing beyond that. Right. And
yes,
it's so difficult.
No, like even softball two years ago, softball was really good, and they lose in like the first round.
We're all regular season teams, man. I don't know
Yeah.
You just get used to it. It's just, it is what it is. So, you know, I was never really somebody that's like, yeah, win a bowl game. That would be awesome. But next year, if ASU football is able to make a bowl game and win a bowl game, that would be so massive. And it would make me feel like at least we have one program that has seemingly got back on track.
Yeah.
Totally. So next season for ASU football is massive. And it's massive on all fronts. It's massive for Dillingham. It's massive for players on the roster. It's just such a big, big season. One of the biggest seasons I can think back to, right?
Right. And like, it's not even necessarily a big season in terms of like, because obviously entering the 2021 season, like that team had a preseason over under of like 9.5 wins.
Right.
They had talent that like they, you know, they left meat on the bone that year. I don't want to, you know, drudge up old memories, but this season feels different in just the sense of just like be respectable, you know? And so exactly. Anyway.
In the sense of like, give us something to root for. Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Well, speaking of football, this is bad news in the sense that it's a position coach leaving, but I don't think it's like bad news in a big picture sense. So Rashad Samples, Arizona State wide receiver coach and passing game coordinator, is off to Eugene to be the running backs coach and assistant head coach for the Oregon Ducks. I just don't really like, I don't want to say it's not a big deal, but it's like, it's a promotion. Like you can't like any ASU fan who's like, oh, this it's a lateral move. It's like, no, like Oregon's a better job than ASU. You know, there's no way of arguing that. And so like, I'm not going to be mad at someone climbing up their career, going to Oregon. The only concern I have is if he poaches, any receivers to come with him. But at the same time, like, Oregon's wide receiver room is probably really good too, you know? Like, it's not like they're lacking for talent, you know? So, like, what are your kind of initial thoughts on that departure?
Yeah, I think obviously the big impact is going to be made recruiting. Was a massive asset in terms of landing recruits and building this program up in terms of the reception of younger talent, right? And bringing those guys in. So on that front, it's less than ideal, obviously. The players seem to really, really like him. I saw Jordan Tyson's comments about he's the reason I came here and all those other things. But I think in terms of poaching receivers, I think with these, based on other things that I've been reading and the videos I've seen come out of practice and the way that these guys interact, again, just from like an outsider's point of view, it strikes me as a group that's extremely tight-knit. It was really weird reading Jordan Tyson's comments and seeing it's a business. Because that's true, though. Like, it really is a business at this point. Somebody's going to throw money at you, and you have to make a business decision. So that's where it's so important. I mean, I don't want to bring up the AD conversation again, just a quick footnote. That's why it's so important that we have an AD who is a progressive thinker in terms of NIL, right? Terms of being able to navigate those waters a little bit. The point I was making about the wide receiver room, I think it's a very tight-knit group, and it's a group that is excited by what Dillingham is building. And obviously the guys that Dillingham has surrounded himself with have an impact on that too. But I don't think one guy leaving makes that culture and that excitement just crumble.
No.
I think that these guys might want to continue to see this through just based on what I'm seeing. So hopefully we don't see 3 or 4 guys follow him to Oregon. I don't know. And I'm also not super privy to how often that happens at like,
well, 3 or 4. I mean, yeah, like there's only so many, you know, receptions to be had.
Right. I mean, Exactly. So I'm thinking, like, I'm also not privy to how often that happens after spring ball.
The portal does open again after spring.
Okay. And, okay.
You know, I'm sure there will be some Asian players that leave.
Somebody might jump then and go with him. Yeah. But it seems like Dillingham has built something that receivers want to be a part of. It seems like the receivers like each other. That competition has continued to heat up. I also think there's enough depth at wide receiver now. There's so many guys who seem to be putting themselves in positions to step up. And those guys who kind of serve as weapons, right? You've got Raelique Brown. You've got Cam Scataboo. So I think they're going to be okay. My concern is more of like, how does this affect future recruiting? And what are they going to do to fill that void? But I mean, there's obviously, I'm sure you're going to mention it here in a second, but there's obviously some big names that Dillingham might be looking at to fill that void.
Yeah, for sure. For me, you mentioned Jordan Tyson, his quotes he gave to Sun Devil sources. "I don't think I'm going anywhere," Tyson said. "I hope not, but it's a business." So that most likely indicates that he's staying, but I mean, who the heck, like,
that almost sounds like a trade. Like, he's what? Aware. I said that almost sounds like a trade. He's aware he can't be traded, right?
Yeah, I know. Exactly. Yeah, like, it is your decision ultimately.
What do you mean you hope you stay? It's a business. Like,
no, I know. So he is definitely, I mean, he's more of a risk than like Elijah Badger or Jake Smith or like, I doubt, you know, Melquan Stovall or Guillory, you know. But the thing is, like, I guess the kind of hidden benefit is that just because he didn't play last year, that he might have less of a market than he otherwise could have, you know? And I feel like the biggest risk would probably be Troy O'Meary, just because he's from Texas, and so Sample's probably had a big impact in him coming to ASU. But if it's one guy, you know, it's just how it is right now in college football, right? Like,
right. It's just the nature of this era that we're in. It's something you got to deal with. It's obviously, you mentioned it. It's a great opportunity for Samples. It's something he had to take. You can't really hold anything against him for that. And naturally, there might be some of a ripple effect for that. So
yeah.
We'll just see how it goes.
Oregon, yeah. I know they have Tez Johnson returning from last year, who was good. Some other guys returning. And then they brought in Evan Stewart from Texas A&M, who was like a huge five-star recruit coming out of high school. Like, so, and they just picked up Cooper Perry, the number one recruit in Arizona today. Or I think it depends on the service that he's number one, but he's a four-star. Not really upset about that. I mean, I guess some ASU fans are a little annoyed by that, but it seemed like it was Oregon the whole time. And, you know, if I like that Dillingham really made a point to recruit him, because if he doesn't get playing time at Oregon, then ASU will be a, you know, good second chance opportunity anyway. So I'm not really that worried about it from a big picture perspective. One thing that I do like, it's good that your coach is like, this shows that Dillingham like has a good eye for young coaching talent in the fact that other people want to hire him, you know? So from that perspective, it's good. And we'll see how he does with the replacement. Looks like it's coming down to two NFL, you know, notable NFL wide receivers from the 2000s. Troy Brown is in the mix along with Hines Ward. Very interesting.
Yeah, very interesting. Those feel like Herm Edwards hires.
They do.
Those are the names I was used to seeing during that era. But I mean, no knock on them, obviously.
Yeah. So Brown apparently had been the wide receivers coach for the Patriots recently. So that's good. Like, a former NFL wide receivers coach. I know the Patriots weren't good last year and like whatever, but like that's still a good, you know, thing to have in your background. And it was reported by ESPN's Mike Rice that Brown, even though he wasn't retained as the receivers coach, he was still going to work with offensive skill players in some capacity. So like they wanted to keep him around. And then Hines Ward, apparently he was the head coach of the San Antonio Brahmas of the UFL.
Yeah. I didn't even know that, man. I saw that
this
too.
Sun Devil Source. And then he had also coached wide receivers at Florida Atlantic in 2021. So, like, at least these guys are qualified, right? It's not like they're just good former receivers. Like, they've coached before. So, I mean, I don't hate, you know, I think it's good that Dillingham has enough juice to actually attract one of these guys.
100%, man. And, I mean, if they have the experience, obviously they have the pedigree as players, but if they have the coaching experience and that's able to translate to those levels, I think either of those guys would come in and do an excellent job filling that void. I also think it gives some of that name value a little bit too, right? I mean,
yeah,
who knows what kind of an impact that has on this era, but if any of them, hopefully they can recruit a little bit too and fill that void left by Samples. But yeah, I mean, it's always exciting to see those names attached to the program. And you said it, it's not like Dillingham has a long history with those guys like Herm always had when he brought those guys in. But the fact that Dillingham is, I think you said, has that juice to bring guys in like that is promising. I think that's pretty cool. So we'll see what ultimately happens here. Maybe other names are thrown in the mix too. Who knows? But we'll see where we go from here with that open position.
Yeah, I feel like that'll get decided pretty soon.
Yeah. What do you think? Probably well before the AD, right?
I would be very surprised if the wide receiver coach gets hired after the AD with how it's been trending. It's like, okay, like at least these guys appear to be somewhat interested in it, you know? So, and I mean, yeah, you mentioned it, the name recognition, like, especially like Hines Ward, definitely. And Troy Brown, being a former NFL wide receiver coach, like that has some, that's a lot of sway. And I guess I don't want to repeat myself anymore, but it's good that Dillingham is in the mix with these guys. So that should wrap up our show. Any final thoughts before we wrap this one up, Colton?
No, man, I think we covered a lot of the notable stuff. So yeah, nothing from me.
I guess I have one question, actually.
Yeah.
Were you the one that got in a altercation with Terrell Suggs in North Scottsdale last night?
No, that was not me. That one was not me. I stayed out of that. Usually I am the one seeking conflict and getting in fights and drive-thrus, but for a change, I decided to not get in an altercation in a drive-thru. It was a crazy night. Crazy night to hang it up too. I could have gotten in a fight with Sizzle, which would have been fun.
I'm sure that would have gone well for you.
That's got to be top five guys you don't want to fight. So I don't understand the thought process of whoever was on the other side of that.
Dude, it's not just that he's like a, you know, likely Hall of Fame defensive like linebacker. He also looks scary as well. Like Bobby Wagner, like he's going to be a Hall of Fame linebacker, but like he doesn't look scary, you know. He just is good. Like Terrell Suggs, like it's both, you know. So hopefully, you know, good thing nothing, you know, too bad wound up happening. So
also Howard University.
That's right, baby. That's right. And we need to, him and Vontae is perfect at practice to coach the kids up.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well,
come out with an ankle bracelet on, but he'll be there.
That's right. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Please follow the College Huddle on social media. There's a lot of good stuff coming from out there. A lot of really good podcasts in that. They're all pretty much larger than this one. And a lot of them have been around for years and years and have really developed a big following. Please like and subscribe. Please rate and review. And as always, go Sun Devils.